getting some nods, yes. So, any other announcements that I may have?
We have an elders meeting tomorrow.
Okay. So, elders meeting for the elders. If there's any concerns, bring it to the elders so they can discuss.
All right, let's turn to Genesis 22, please. Let's pray one more time. Lord, we pray that you bless our time as we open your word and look at the account from Genesis 22. Pray that you'd help us to learn from the narrative and the lessons that we can see from Abraham and his being tested, as well as the pictures that we can see of a better Isaac and the perfect obedience that we see shown in the life of Christ. We also pray for your blessing on the Sunday school time and on this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So Genesis 22, and when I did the one on Noah, I also, I don't know how well you can see it, but I took my slides from years ago when I did a series of Genesis for the kids and took out some of the pictures, some of them. You can see there's a light background picture of Abraham there. Probably not exactly what he looked like, but kind of helps sometimes just to have some visuals, at least for me. Let's go ahead and read. We have one chapter. I have the luxury of focusing on one chapter today. But there's a lot in that chapter, so let's go ahead and read it. We will focus primarily on verses 1 through 19. So let's read those verses. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father! And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants, as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Only four slides I wanted to highlight just as we start off. There are many New Testament verses about Abraham. There are a few, which we'll talk about here. I think my last slide has a couple more verses from Hebrews. But Hebrews 11:17. There's so many different messages that have been preached on this chapter, and it seems like a lot of them have different titles. And the one that was really circulating in my head was the phrase "only begotten" or "only his only son" is what New King James reads here. But in Hebrews, it's described as his only begotten son. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So, keeping that in mind, there's two kind of ways to focus on this chapter, maybe more than two, but the two that I thought of were, there's the story of Abraham and what Abraham was learning in that day, in that time. It's a true story where Abraham was given a promise, and we heard last week of how this long-awaited moment where this promise that seems like it would have been really hard to keep believing because it was taking so long for it to be fulfilled was finally fulfilled in the birth of the son Isaac, right? And we talked about how Abraham tried to use the works of the flesh as a means to accomplish God's plan, which is not ever something that we want to do. God doesn't need our help to accomplish his plan. God will do what God will do. God can use even the failures of man to accomplish his plan. And throughout history, he has. However, Abraham tried to use his own means multiple times to accomplish God's plan. And so we have him, we have the birth of Ishmael, which came through him using the works of the flesh to try and accomplish the will of God. And yet, by God's grace, we see that both Abraham and Sarah are mentioned in Hebrews 11 as people of faith, because they were characterized as people that trusted the Lord. In spite of moments of failure, times of failure, it should be an encouragement to us who also have those moments of failure, forgetfulness, and perhaps disobedience. What is it that characterizes us? And Abraham is characterized as a man who believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He had faith in God. When the promise was made and when he left his homeland, it says he went out not knowing where he was going. We also read here that he was told to, as if the test itself wasn't enough, he's told to go to a mountain of which I shall tell you. So in the land of Moriah, long journey, 3 days, and he doesn't even know specifically where yet, but he has at this point built a lifelong habit of trusting the Lord, even when it seems impossible to trust the Lord, because he knows that our God and his God, the same God, specializes in the impossible. So as we consider this chapter of faith, there's a big focus on faith. Even though we don't see the word faith specifically yet, we see the concept quite a bit in his willingness to obey and do so without hesitation and to the exact detail. So every word seems to be perfectly placed as we read this chapter. And as we look, So there's lots of perfection. The whole Bible, there's lots of perfection, but as we look at this chapter, just to point out a few things. First of all, we see that God tested Abraham, right? That's the very first verse. Some of your versions, does anyone have King James?
Yeah.
What does it say in that?
Which verse?
What?
Which verse?
Verse 1, instead of the word tested,
God says tempted.
Tempted, okay. So, and that word, the first, this is, I believe, because I was looking this up, the first English word, first mention of the English word tested, but it's actually the same Hebrew word as back in Genesis chapter 3. So it's interesting to me that it's the translation tested, or another way that the word is translated many times is proved. If you read other occurrences of that Hebrew word. So anyway, faith is, we've in this series through Genesis, we've talked about faith quite a bit already with both Noah and Abraham. There's lots of early seeds planted to help us understand these concepts of believing the Lord. Abraham believed God. So we see that test already. We've seen it already, but here is the ultimate test of Abraham's faith, where after he had been given Isaac, and no doubt there was a high moment there where he was so excited, and then the next thing it says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. And so it's just, wow, what a pill for Abraham, or for Abraham to swallow. But he obeyed immediately and exactly. Early in the morning, 3 days to get to the Mount Moriah, to that place. It says on the third day later, that's how we know. And then in the right place, so he went at the right time, he went to the right place, a very specific place on a very specific mountain, and none of that was by accident, as we'll get into in a minute. It was his only son, so it was the right person. You know, if he was operating under the works of the flesh, he could have maybe tried to explain away reasons why not to do that. There are a lot of creative ways sometimes that men will change the instructions of the Lord to conveniently not obey exactly. But he obeyed with the right time, the right place, the right person. He didn't distort any of what God told him to do. And then the right kind of faith. Because not all was known. He didn't know exactly where he was going. The Lord was going to tell him, it says, as we read in verses 2 through 4. And he knew how the burnt offering needed to be, with wood and it says he went to the place where God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. So let's look here at, forgot, I guess. So first mention, we've talked about first mention a couple times already. So these words are first mentions. So God tested Abraham and take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. And then when we read where he says to the young men, Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship. So we have worship of both Abraham and Isaac. In that he holds nothing back. He's willing to offer his very best. But he says to the young men also to stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And so, and then we have, so he, Abraham obediently gives all that is asked of him, trusting that the Lord will provide. And as we read on, he says, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. So, faith. Abraham trusted God to save his life, or somehow keep his promise. He knew that the Lord had promised, and he leaned completely on the promise of the Lord. And so if we turn to the next slide here, so this is, hopefully you can read all that. I kept adding to this slide because the pictures are just so incredible. There's so many of them, and there's some that I didn't even add. I think I counted three that I didn't ever put in there because I kept finding more, but there's a lot to focus on here, and I will probably have us turn to at least a couple of these references. But as we look at the pictures of the better Isaac, we'll say, Lord Jesus Christ, it's just overwhelming. This is one of the paramount passages in Scripture that paints a picture to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were talking yesterday in our study about how when we open the Scripture and we see, I mean, if we were to count the amount of times that the Bible gives us a picture of Christ, I mean, it's insurmountable. It's uncalculable to be able to number those times. In this one chapter here, there are, well, however many rows I've got there, plus more that I kept finding. And this is a relatively short chapter, but and how many of them have not been discovered yet? And the Word of God is inexhaustible. How unsearchable are the Lord's judgments and his ways past finding out? It's an incredible puzzle that we can piece together, and it paints us a picture, the big picture of what that puzzle shows us. If you think of a normal jigsaw puzzle, there's usually a picture. Once you get it together, that you can see. And as you put those pieces together, you can see the picture more and more clearly. And as we think about the Word of God and the book of Genesis, the generations that pass, and the seed doctrines that are being planted there for us to understand something throughout Scripture, we can see the first mention of worship, the first mention of love, the first mention of being tested. And these words carry significance in a similar way throughout the rest of Scripture. Being willing to sacrifice, being willing to bring something to the altar, right? That's worship. And putting yourself low and lifting the Lord up. The psalmist wrote, come let us worship and bow down. And the very first mention of the word love. And we have the familial relationship of the Father and the Son. And not just any Son, but the only begotten Son. And then we have sacrifice. Willing to sacrifice. He did not withhold his only son. And so when we consider Abraham's love for Isaac, God chose, even though it's not as perfect as the actual thing that it pictures, it's such a strong relationship that they must have had. Such a loving relationship that he must have had for his son. And the promise that was to be fulfilled through his son Isaac. And yet, he did not withhold his only son. And when I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. And I'm sure that as people throughout history have experienced loss of a child. Those who live through the pain of living longer than their children, whether that's through, and there's certainly many different circumstances that can come through. Miscarriage, early childhood, stillborn, or other means, cancer, something that might happen during the lifetime. I was named after my uncle, who died of leukemia at the age of 13, Nathan Hansen, my dad's younger brother. So having spoken to my grandparents and others that I know who have lost their children, or in the case of Ray and Sandy, their grandchild, what a horribly difficult thing to endure. And yet to be willing to make that as a sacrifice, to choose because God said, and to be able to trust and obey, to make that sacrifice, that's love. That's a picture to us of love. And that's what he says here. Take now your so we see the sacrifice in worship, and we see the sacrifice in love. So we see the love for God in willingness to offer a sacrifice, love and trust and faith. And then we see the love for his son. Okay, so let's look at, so the Father's love is verse 1, and then in John chapter 5, I chose that. It's one of many references that talk about the Father's love, because it's the Father's love for the Son that's talked about very specifically. And then the only Son, verses is mentioned in verse 1, 12, and 16, three times. And then we see the verse that we started with, Hebrews 11, 17. He's called offered his only begotten Son. That's referring back to Abraham. John 3, 16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? We read from John 1 this morning also, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there's a picture. Obedient, submissive and obedient. And so the obedience is mentioned in verse 14. He says, or actually, I guess, got the wrong verse there. I want to say it's later. Okay, yeah, it's 18. For you have obeyed my voice at the end of verse 18. The submissive son, and really throughout the chapter we see Abraham's very specific steps of obedience and following the Lord's instructions, going to the exact place at the exact time, the right person, and doing so immediately. So the son was submissive. So Isaac was, not only did Abraham obey God, but Isaac was submissive to his father, just as the Lord Jesus was submissive and came to please the Father, came to do the will. How many times does Jesus say, I came to do the will of him who sent me? John 1:29 is one example. And then in verses 3 through 6, there's notably no comments from Isaac until he gets to the point where he says, my father, right? And the question, I guess the question he asks, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? But notably and significantly, I believe, quiet in that trip leading up to the mountain. Similar to Acts 8 is the New Testament reference. I was looking for New Testament references, but it refers back to the prophet's words that Jesus was led as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Kind of related to being submissive, being willing. But another just very specific picture there. And then one that I don't think I put in there was a donkey. I think that was the animal by choice. I believe that's not an accident either. On the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus chose a donkey. And in Israel's history, the donkeys were chosen during times of peace, and then the horses, when he comes again a second time, he comes on a white horse, which was significant of times of war. And so it's just interesting to me that even the animal chosen was not by accident, I believe. I think that each of these things were very specifically pictures that are painted of triumphal entry leading where they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and then days later the same people were crying, crucify him. But you see these pictures. And then the cry in verse 7, where he says, my father. And Jesus said, so I don't know if it's a picture of the cry of the Lord in Matthew 26 or Matthew 27 from the Garden of Gethsemane or from the cross or both perhaps, but I put them both down. when he said, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Actually, let's look at that verse, make sure that I get it right. Matthew chapter 26. Since there's a couple references there, we'll look at both of them. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Let's read from verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So the Lord is in a time of deep distress, even unto death, and Isaac, no doubt, seemed, as the events led up and he started to realize what was happening, was no doubt in deep distress as well. And yet we hear that phrase, my father. And then we know the story of, as we read on, Matthew 27 is one of the accounts, which we hear from one of the things that Jesus cried out on the cross in verse 46. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? So we have that cry. As well. And it's interesting to me that even the circumstances that surround how he cried out are similar. being put on the altar, if you will. So 3-day journey, and then raised up off of the altar. So the wording is, again, specific. And Matthew chapter 12, since we're in Matthew still, if you're still there, you can turn with me, or you can just listen as I read the verse from Matthew 12, verse 40. And this one's the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And obviously we know the story of how he rose again the third day, but the number of days does not seem to be by accident either. And then another really interesting one, so it's a mountain, and it's a very specific mountain. So I separated these two because we know that the place of a skull, the place called Calvary, is referred to historically as a mountain, Mount Calvary, right? Luke 23:33 is what gives reference to that geographical location, the place of a skull, and Golgotha, and Mount Calvary. In verse 2, we read here that it says, one of the mountains. is where he's supposed to offer the burnt offering. But then it says, it tells us that it's of which I shall tell you. So then he says it's in the land of Moriah. So the specific place is in Moriah, which if we read in 2 Chronicles 3:1, it tells us that that's actually Jerusalem. The hills in Jerusalem. And so that region is... So this is pretty early in the history of the Old Testament, right? So there was a lot that was going to happen that we can read about in Scripture, and that it was a very significant place. In fact, some have even kind of called the Bible a tale of two cities, Jerusalem and Babylon, because there's physical, geographical significance to those two cities, and then there's also very spiritual significance to those two cities, and a whole study in itself. But this place was not by accident. This is part of the picture as well. And as we look at Matthew chapter 20, actually let's read that one too. I just want to show some of these things. Take our time a little bit. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 18 and 19. Behold, so Jesus it says, and actually we'll read verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he will rise again. Where was it? Jerusalem. Don't need to spend too much time on these, just make the point and then keep going. So then, so the burnt offering, right? Burnt offering, it needed wood. And so they put the wood on Isaac, it says. What happened in Matthew chapter 27, verses 31 through 33? Jesus carried his cross. Interesting. You can see these very specific pictures. And so then they gathered the wood for the offering, they placed it on Isaac. And then the perhaps more obvious one, but let's focus on it. It's important. Verse 13 of Genesis 22. Well, first of all, we have the lamb indirectly spoken of in Abraham's faith-filled response, where he says, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. There's perhaps not as clear, but there's perhaps even a picture in that the Father was, we read from John 1 this morning, he was in the beginning with God, the two of them together, two of the three parts of the Trinity. And not until he was on the cross, bearing our sin, bearing our shame, did God forsake him. And where there is sin, there is shame. And the only time that Christ ever bore shame was when he bore our sins. That was the only time that he was separated from the Father in that way. And so the two of them went together. Then he put him on the altar. He said God will provide for himself a lamb. And then he said in verse 13, or it says in verse 13, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. So actually, let's take just a brief step back here. Let's talk about the narrative of this story and pause on the pictures for just a moment. So Abraham, this is like the climax of the story here. So he goes through this whole thing. His faith is being tested. He knew something. I don't know exactly what he knew, but when he said, the two of us, the lad and I, will go up on the mountain and we will come back to you, he knew, I think he believed that the Lord would raise him, or somehow that the Lord would spare him. But he knew something about God. He trusted God. He knew that this was the child of promise, and he believed. And So he passes the test of faith this time. He doesn't rely on the works of the flesh this time. This certainly doesn't seem so in any way. But then he took his knife to slay his own son, but the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord, that phrase, when it's used in the scriptures, is referring to the Lord. If you look at other occurrences of that phrase, it's pretty clear. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He calls him by name and he says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And interesting side study, I guess, but obviously the Lord knew. Why did the Lord test Abraham? It wasn't for the Lord to come to a realization of Abraham's faith. Although it does show publicly to all who read, to all who can behold, and to Abraham himself, kind of like when we pray, the Lord already knows our thoughts, but he wants us to ask because it's good for us, and it's good for, it's glorifying to him to make his ways known. And to show that he feared God in the sense that he revered him as the sovereign God, trusting him implicitly and obeying him without question. And Abraham, after this, his son is spared. He receives the great blessing of having his son spared. Abraham did not spare his son, but God did spare his son. And this is where the picture is not the same. Every picture is not quite the same as that which it pictures. And there are differences that we can point out. Abraham's sacrifice of his son was a test. Christ's sacrifice was the way that we could receive redemption and reconciliation to God. And it was the only way. And so, thank God, even though he spared Isaac, he did not spare his own son. Abraham did not spare his own son. It actually uses those words very specifically. Or he said, "You have not withheld your son, your only son." God did not spare his own son. But God did spare Isaac. And so what a relief that must have been to Abraham, that his faith was rewarded in this way. It says in Hebrews 11, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's the substitute lamb found in verse 13. There we have the picture of substitution. The lamb instead of Isaac. And so we have the reference in John 1, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then predicted resurrection, verse 5. Again, he says, "We will come back to you." So if you trusted that God would save his life somehow or bring him back to life. And then a couple references there to "He will rise again." Mark 10:34, and then Hebrews 11. 19. And we'll just close with that because we're at time. Those verses from Hebrews 11. In context, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises, this is a key part of this, is the promises of God that we see, the covenants made. The Abrahamic covenant is leads up to this, the fulfillment in Isaac. Whom it was called, or of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. That was that last one from the outline there. The other one that I didn't mention, the only other picture that I can think of right now, is that he was bound. Jesus, we're told, was bound as well. Let's close. I guess, is there any comments, additional thoughts, clarifications? Some short ones. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for Abraham and Isaac and the stories that we can read from the book of Genesis. And what an amazing story it was and is. And even more amazing that it's true. These things actually happened and give us windows into the life of Abraham, the only son of Isaac, the only begotten son. Ishmael was his son, but we know that he is not. He calls Isaac his only son here because that was the one that your promise came through. And Lord, we just we give thanks to you that we can see these very specific things that point to the one man, the one sacrifice who made life and eternal life and reconciliation to God possible for us. And that is the Lord Jesus. We thank you that there are so many pictures like this in your word that remind us of that. Words that are mentioned for the first time, we pray that you help us to love and to worship and to pass the test of faith in the same way that Abraham did, and that we would be receiving the blessing and to lay hold of your exceeding great and precious promises that you have lavished on us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, our perfect Isaac, who laid his life down on the altar of sacrifice of the cross, and that he was raised again the third day. Thankful for a God that has provided all that we need, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and that he provided even a Savior for us in due time, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.